I think that is a direct result of postseason discussions with ownership.
Mm.
With ownership.
Mm.
These people are not dummies, Lee. The ones that write the checks, they know just enough about football to be dangerous. And that's why I keep expanding my belt buckle every 2 weeks.
Buccaneers fans, what a special day this is as we enter March. Not because free agency is a week away, but because the great Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Newport Richie.
Thank you, Lee.
Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Mr. Bill Curry Ford is back with us. He's healthy. He's fighting. He looks feisty.
The water whisperer, Steve. The mold whisperer.
The water damage whisperer. His memory is in great shape, as always.
Minister of mold.
It was not the same at the NFL Scouting Combine without you, Sage.
In the words of Frank Costanza, I'm back, baby. fresh off the tennis court, Lee. That tells you that I'm doing much better. The sciatica has calmed down. The flu A has flown out the window. I was sleeping in another freaking room for 9 days. I don't like that. That might have contributed to my sciatica being on another mattress. Who the hell knows? But you boys did a spectacular job. And Indy, I'm proud of you. And Steve puts out the six-foot picture of me, the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm sure there was a few people that walked by saying, where's the sage? Where's the sage? And but Todd Bowles taking a few pot shots at me, Steve. It's amazing.
He took pot shots at you twice.
I'll get him back at the meeting. I'll get him back in Palm Beach at the Breakers.
Uh-oh.
I'll make him buy me a tuna fish sandwich. $39. $39 at the Breakers. I'll be ready.
Good time out there. We hit on a lot. If you haven't listened to the last two podcasts, Lee and I, the voice of Lee DeCamper, I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. We talked to Todd Bowles, 10 and a half minute sit down or so, 20 minutes with Jason Light. Both were very candid, very loose. Ira, why are they so loose with me and Lee? What's going on?
Because they respect the site. They know how hard you guys work to get things right. And we don't write everything we know, Lee. That's an important point.
And we sure don't.
We write a fraction of what we know, and that keeps us in business. That's the way you do business in our business. Bowles did take some pot shots, and he also broke some news. Now, Steve, you got to admit it. I gave you two questions to ask Bowles. The very first one was about clock management and game situations, and you got a hell of an answer from him, Steve, because he talked about it from the podium, but he didn't say what he said on the podcast.
No, he didn't, and he talked about it off the podium. Lee and I talked about this, but it's important to get your sage wisdom on this.
And, Lee, we've been talking about it a lot. You know, that's not a strength of his.
As have fans.
So don't worry, Ira. Don't worry. Drive Curry. Bill Curry Ford presents all of your work at JoeBucksFan.com. And they have an amazing promotion coming up. It is literally days, hours from being released, one of the greatest ever. And it's going to blow some people's minds and really get a lot of people excited, even people who don't need a vehicle. And we'll leave it at that.
When can you go public with this thing, Steve?
It's going to be a matter of days. Matter of days. This month, early this month.
Is it worth listening to?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be huge. It is huge. Anyway, but the deals they got going now, go to BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Lease offers, low financing offers, just tremendous. And, of course, their certified used vehicle program, and they're number one in service. They've got mobile service. They'll do all kinds of things at your home or at your apartment complex, whatever it is.
Or a loaner, no problem.
Or a free loaner. A lot of these places, we'll loan you a vehicle for $50 a day. That's not a loan.
Well, that's a loan, all right.
Yeah.
That's a loan shark.
Exactly.
That's a loan shark.
But no, they've got those vehicles to loan out, and they'll do mobile service. They'll go pick up your vehicle, bring it back to the dealership.
Or they come to your house.
Yeah, and it's no charge, no extra charge. They'll go get your vehicle, work on it, get it back to you. They do whatever they can. So that's so critical.
And ask for the Sage discount, Stevie.
The Ira Kaufman discount, it's in the pocket of Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. He is GM there, and just ask him. He's going to put an Ira Kaufman discount on top of any other discount.
And you made Sean's year last week, didn't you, Steve? You made his whole year by bringing him out there with you.
Well, he's part of the team. He was at the Scouting Combine, and he's got some good stuff to share. He was interviewing prospects, and his podcast, Best in Class, will be a destination as we go forward.
How were his questions? Sharp questions, Steve?
What do you think, Ira?
I think sharp.
Yeah, he did a great job. All right. BillCurryFord.com, third-generation family business. Now, a first-generation family business is our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Put them in your pocket. Put them in your phone. Put them in your laptop favorites. You got to know where to go when you have a disaster, flood, water damage. You're the water damage whisperer, mold, fire. You call them first before you call your insurance company. We'll tell you more about that later. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right. Sage, the news you're talking about, as Todd Bowles said right here, I am interviewing for a game management coordinator, clock management. That person will be the lone voice in his ear, full-time on the job, and that will take away the three voices currently in his ear, as Lee and I talked about with Todd. Your thoughts?
Game management in these critical situations, it's becoming more and more paramount in today's game because coaches are being more aggressive. You know, fourth and two always used to be a punt. Eh, it's a punt. It's a punt. You know, unless you're on the other team's 40-yard line and you got a lousy kicker, then you go for it. Now teams are doing it at their own 35, Lee, and they're good at it. They have plays specifically designed for it. They know exactly when to go for two with the mathematics and the analytics and when you don't go for two. And, you know, when you do an onside kick and how you do it, Lee, these situations determine the outcomes of games. And quite frankly, the Bucs have been behind on these things. They have not been on the cutting edge, and other teams are. And I applaud Bowles for acknowledging that has not been a strength of this franchise. And, Lee, I might suggest, without knowing, but I might suggest that there might have been a suggestion from the top down. Hey, we got to get better in this area.
We do know Team Glazers, they're big on
analytics.
And I'm
just glad they're addressing it, Lee.
Well, I'm cautious for a couple reasons, one of which I elaborated already a couple times on this podcast. I think, quote-unquote, game management or clock management, whatever you want to call it, is significantly more complex than it looks on TV. Also, if you just, I'm more in the Bruce Arians camp, that you just bank on analytics, quote-unquote, you're going to get your ass beat. And I point out Brandon Staley. Brandon Staley was the ultimate stat geek. There was, fourth down, it was like fourth, let's go.
Yes.
Well, he got his ass beat, as Bruce Arians
would say. So, Lee, you marry analytics to the actual game situation that you're in.
Well, that's smart, yeah.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could overdo it, which Brandon Staley did. You know, he had zero feel for a game.
Yes.
And oddly enough, that's what some people criticize Bowles for. I don't think it's bad, but going overboard is just as bad.
Steve, you know what I like about
it? I always thought this was Jackie Davidson's deal.
You love bringing up her name.
Well, the reason why I bring up her name, number one, they admitted that she was on the headset. Number two, what exactly were her responsibilities?
I know.
The team never puts her out there for a media availability, yet I would suggest her being on the headset with Bowles, there was something very critical with her analysis.
But, Steve, you know what I liked about the conversation with Bowles when you brought my question up? He didn't get defensive, Steve. A lot of coaches would have got defensive. Oh, I don't think I need any help. I think we're doing pretty well in that area. He didn't do that, Steve. I think that's a plus for Todd Bowles.
Yeah, he very much said we got to get better. You know, and why else would you go out and hire somebody full-time? But you're right, Ira. It's changing the landscape of there's more to manage when you're not automatically punting on fourth and three or kicking a field goal. And I think it speaks to that Bowles maybe wants to get more aggressive and wants to understand how.
Went to challenge a play, Steve. That's another one. You know, with instant replay and stuff. I want to look at that thing again.
Yeah, but as Lee and I said, you know, to have three people in your ear is pure insanity.
It's counterproductive.
It's insanity. It's insanity. Yeah. You got a clock ticking down. It's insanity under any circumstance. So I'm glad you thought that was a plus, Sage. Anything else from Bowles that really stuck out to you? Ira Kaufman, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, last week.
His candor was kind of astonishingly in certain cases, because I think we're the only outlet that would even bring this up to a Todd Bowles directly. Todd, you're not particularly popular with the Buck fan base. I mean, who else would say
who
that?
Who else would say that?
Head coach, I'm glad you did, Steve.
Oh, the fans are killing you.
And
they don't like you.
What did he say, Lee? I'm not the worst coach, and I'm not the best coach. It shows his humility. His ego's not out of control. Now, he's got a healthy ego. Healthy.
Well,
which I'm glad he does.
He also said, I coached my ass off.
He did. I think he feels a little disrespected, Lee, and I think he's got some justification for that. You can pound away at Todd Bowles all you want. He went 10-7. It was an injury-ravaged season. As you always point out, Lee, he's always finishing on top of that division. I don't care how bad the division is. Somebody's got to win it, and he wins it. And most importantly, Lee, these midseason slumps, which I don't want to see another one in 2025. But he's got a knack for getting out of them, Lee.
Yeah.
And that's a plus.
Well, that, I think that also speaks to sort of respect he has with his players. Because players didn't like a coach. You go into a midseason rut, they're throwing in the towel. The hell with this. It's time for Punta Gorda. Or not Punta Gorda. Punta Cana. Punta Gorda, too.
Punta Cana. That's a good one. Or but, Atlantis. Or Atlantis.
Yeah. Exactly.
Punta Gorda's down by Fort Myers. Come on,
here's the thing. I thought this was really cool. Yeah, Fort Myers. Nothing against Fort Myers. When Bowles was doing his car wash, for people, you know, car wash, what the hell? He thought he was in Indianapolis. What we mean by car wash is, and it started with ESPN, it was very apropos with ESPN, when you do X amount of, like in a row, you do a bunch of media interviews. And so when Bowles is up at a podium talking to NFL media at large, then he goes on Florio's show, NBC
Sports. That's right,
Sports.
That's right.
Then he goes on CBS. Then he goes on NFL Network, that too, NFL Radio on Sirius. And then he sits down with us. And it's car wash. He's just, so anyway, Bowles stopped with and talked with Florio. And, you know, Florio's like, hey, how come you don't get respect? Yeah. All you ever do every year is you win the division. No one ever talks about you. And he didn't say Atlanta, but I think he was mentioning Atlanta, or it certainly was on his mind when he said, "What?" I'm summarizing here. I'm not directly quoting him. I'd rather people not talk about us and we win the division than talk about us and we don't get make the playoffs, i.e. Atlanta.
I think that's a good point that he was probably referencing Atlanta without mentioning them. Yeah. And, of course, you know, if you're going to knock Bowles, which, you know, there's legitimate gripes, you can't lose two games against the Falcons. You can't do that. And he's got to live with that, even though it didn't cost him the division. And as you always point out, they won the damn division by two games after being three games behind. Steve, that's very rough to do. Very hard to do that.
Now, Ira, I don't want to take you too far off track, but you did mention, and I think Lee followed up, the players, they play for Bowles, and that's why they're able to come out of these ruts and situations. Now, the NFLPA put out its annual report card where the players, through their union, vote on, you know, grade different aspects of the team. Last year it was fungus and bugs in the locker room that Buccaneers players didn't like.
Black mold.
Yeah.
Elite restoration.
Not MRSA. Not MRSA, right, Lee? Not MRSA.
Not this time.
That was cleaned up, right. And the Glazers addressed that at the owners' meeting last year. Well, you know, we got to know about these things. We clean them up. So, but you mentioned Bowles, and I don't want to get off track on the other parts of the NFLPA report, but – if you look at all the reports across the team, across the league, Bowles got a B-plus from his players. Solid grade. 20 other coaches, head coaches, got a better grade. Why is that?
20 coaches did better than B-plus?
Yes, 20 coaches got A-minus, A, or A-plus from their players.
I can't speak
20.
For I can't speak for the – first of all, B-plus, it's not a bad grade.
I think I know why.
It's not a bad grade.
No, but I think I know why. It just hit me.
If players have a beef against Bowles, I'd have a hard time trying to figure out what it is.
I know.
He won't criticize them in public.
No.
That's a plus. All right, Lee, you got an idea of what's going on.
You will be outraged. Steve will understand. You will be outraged. You'll puke.
You glad I'm sitting down over here?
You might need to lay down.
All right.
No rap music in practice. Think about it.
You think that could be legit?
Yeah, because I saw how many players grumbled when Bowles, you know, put a stop to it. Like, okay, you can have your music when you're warming up. Once warm-up's over with, once
you're
done
music at all, or we got Frank Sinatra?
Zero.
What do we got?
Zero music.
Zero music.
I know one guy that probably would have strangled him if he could have got away with it. Would have been Donovan Smith.
You know what? I'm bringing my boombox to the first day of training camp. And I'm going to put on some of the music that I like, and we'll see how they dance. To a little CCR in Springsteen. We'll see.
For a minute, I thought you were going to see Sinatra.
No.
But no, I bet you. I'll lay my because music is that big to players. And I'm not saying it's big to me, but like Donovan Smith pouted for weeks when Bowles shut down the music.
Damn. You know what shocks me is 20 guys did better than a B+. That's shocking to me. Coaches of bad teams, and these teams are. You know, putting all kinds of great accolades on the head coach.
Sage, I asked you for a theory. Lee gave a plausible theory.
All right.
I'm not sure why. I will say Bruce
Arians. In theory, B-plus don't sound too bad.
I will say Bruce Arians, no music at his practices. Now, I went back when the NFLPA report card just started in 2023. This is the third year.
Okay, so past Arians.
We don't know what they thought of Arians, but just something to Bulls was very candid. So was Jason Light that they need an edge rusher. So that almost felt like a bit of a change of direction there. They weren't defensive about, hey, we got 47 sacks, so we need some tweaking, but calm down. What are your thoughts there?
I think that is a direct result of postseason discussions with ownership. With ownership. These people are not dummies, Lee. The ones that write the checks, they know just enough about football to be dangerous.
What does that mean? What does that look like? What do you mean?
That looks like discussions with Bulls, discussions with Light, perhaps together, with the Glazers, more than one Glazer. And what do we need? What are our weak spots? The first thing the Glazers say, pass rush got to get better.
Oh, it's got to.
And then, Light says, well, we got two really good defensive tackles. Yeah, you do. What's coming off the edge? Lee, I think the Glazers play a big role in that edge rush. Not that these guys are going to deny what everybody sees, Steve. It's right there in front of you. You need help off the edge, Lee. I mean, there's no debate on this. There's no debate.
Well, no debate for me, but I a couple things. One of which I'm going to tie this in to the grades. You know, one of the grades the Bucks got dinged on, there was a stench in the locker room. Well, I think that stench will be gone when Joe Tryon Shane is out of here. So I think that will be one element. The cynic in me thinks they were saying that just to, you know, get people like me off their derrieres. That's the cynic in me. Prove it. If you really believe you need an edge rush, prove it. Go do something about it. And I'm not talking about Randy Gregory. I'm talking about getting a legitimate guy in here. And, you know, I
don't think you can wait till number 19 rolls around and pick up the fifth best edge rusher.
Well,
I don't think that can be the plan.
This year, they probably could, but here's the catch 22. Rarely, you know, there's exceptions, of course. Rarely, especially a guy drafted that late in the first round, rarely do rookie edge rushers make an impact. I mean, for every Nick Bosa, you have a dozen JTSs.
And a Chris Braswell.
You know,
I'm not giving up on the guy, but he was a rookie. Minimal impact.
Minimal impact. And again, he was a rookie last year. I'm not going to bang on him. But, boy, he was awfully, even for a rookie, and from a Nick Saban program as well, man, was he close to tackling dummy status. 1.5 sacks. Now, Bulls last week at the combine, I couldn't help but think of Curly. You know, he kept saying, oh, he's thinking too much. And I couldn't help but think of Curly's great one-liner. I'm trying to think, but nothing happens. Well, that was what Bowles was saying about Braswell. And Bowles like, oh, you know, the last couple weeks, late in the season, he played like his hair was on fire. And I'm like, doing what? There's no evidence, no, at least pass rushing. There's no evidence that he played his last 9 games, Ira. Guess how many quarterback hits he had.
Who's this?
Braswell. Not last 9 games. Yeah, Braswell.
6.
3.
Enough said.
I mean, that's Ghost Johnson territory.
Steve, I'm going to make this point before you chime in. I'm going to make this point. And I think it was a big one that Bowles made on your show. Because my second question was, if your pass rush becomes more consistent.
Oh, yes.
More consistent. Mm-hmm. How will that impact how you play defense overall?
Big time.
And Steve, what did he say? We got to get four-man pressure. We got to get now. He's known to be a blitzer, Lee. Even when they had JPP,
sure,
and Sue, mm-hmm, and Shaq Barrett, mm-hmm, they blitzed like 45% of the time, Steve. They did, but it was much more effective, Lee, when you had a strong rush from four, and then you add one or two guys coming up the middle, a la Devin White,
mm-hmm,
it's very effective.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't have to worry about picking up the edge guys, all of a sudden the blitz. So I just think, Steve, if the pass rush is considered markedly better this fall, and Bowles still plays a passive defense where he's giving you the 8-yard pass, then I got big problems with Bowles. But I don't think that would happen. I think he would change his whole approach to defense. And get rid of that soft zone garbage.
Soft.
What was interesting, related subject, Bowles confessed, admitted, whatever verb you want to use. One reason why he had his edge rushers playing so much in pass coverage, he's trying to help out the secondary because there are, you know, so many injuries.
He said he did it because we didn't have the edge rush, and I decided they weren't effective. He said that. They were not effective Well, maybe they'll be more effective dropping in coverage. What an admission.
What an admission.
What an admission.
What an
now,
admission.
This
now, they're not the only team that drops guys on occasion.
Oh, no.
On
no,
occasion.
Oh, no.
No, but he was doing it a lot. He acknowledged that he was doing it more. But he said specifically because they
were
ineffective.
Getting there.
Yeah,
we weren't getting there.
Let's run them back if they can't get forward. Chris Braswell, you know, Jason Light said on your podcast, Ira, fans can go back to listen to it. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, like Jellybean, podbean.com. Podcast Addict at JoeBucksFan.com. Jason Light piled on the Chris Braswell hype train, and he said, quote, I think he will shock people. Now,
so.
What that means, I don't know. Shock has a lot of definitions, but let me say this.
Didn't he say the same thing about Shoyinka a couple of years ago? He probably did.
Bulls did, I know.
Here's facts, okay? Chris Braswell was developing so well that his defensive snaps during the season – they dropped from 20-ish a game. Last four games, 6 snaps, 2 snaps, 13 snaps, 5 snaps.
How many in the playoff game?
He didn't play in a playoff game, I don't think.
Let me check. Sing some hold music, Ira.
I've got some information to buttress what you and Steve are saying.
I don't
about
own that, the clothes I'm wearing. This is what I did at the guitar recital. And the road goes on forever. I've got one more silver dollar.
Really? You did Allman Brothers?
Yeah, I did an Allman Brothers. But you're not going to stop the Midnight Rider.
It appears he didn't play in the playoffs.
Very good, Lee. Very good. So, now, what does that tell you, Steve?
But, well, bottom line is, the snaps dropped. And why? Why? Because they didn't think he was up to it.
He wasn't advancing.
So, and they brought in Shaq Barrett out of desperation, yet they're telling us he was coming on. He's going to shock people. Why couldn't he shock people 5 weeks ago?
To buttress, it's one of your favorite words.
Buttress.
To buttress what Steve said. It wasn't like there was a log jam at edge rusher. It wasn't like he was playing behind JPP and Shaq in their primes. He was playing behind garbage, and he got less snaps.
Steve, that's what you say when you got nothing
you
else to say.
You don't have to say he's going to shock people. Now, again, shock might mean he plays reasonably well and gets 4 sacks. I get it, but it was strange. The over-the-top Braswell love, but that may be cover in case they can't get what they're looking for on the edge rusher market. They need to at least be excited about
something. By the
something.
Way, Steve.
Good old hope.
Lee, we're into March. We're into March, Lee. And we're not sure about Lavonne David. We're into March now. What's going on?
I don't
on?
Think the Bucks even know.
What's going on, Steve? What's going on?
I don't even think the Bucks know.
Is he coming back or he's not coming back?
As of today, we don't have anything on that. I mentioned on the previous podcast, you know, before the combine really kicked off, I was able to talk to somebody in detail about that, not Jason Light. And
oh, no, not Bowles either.
The Bucks didn't know. You know, Lavonte was taking his time, and that didn't change. So, you know, who knows? Now, I want to apologize to our listeners for Iris singing. I've chosen to leave it in the podcast because it was such
a... You might have to take it out.
Such an iconic moment. I'm going to leave it.
It was.
But just in case people are just getting back from the rest...
Traumatized?
Just, yeah.
I do apologize.
In case they're just getting back from the...
I might have cracked a few windows, you know, if you're listening in the car.
Yeah, in case they're coming back from soothing their pets or vomiting. I want to make sure we tell everybody now about Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. Again, local company. They serve the greater Tampa Bay area, but they go across the state. And there you go to, Sage, when you got any sort of disaster in your property and it happens. A pipe bursts, mold is found when you go, you know, you're going to change something in your home, change some cabinets. All of a sudden, you got black mold back there. You can't just let the guy wipe it off with some Windex or a couple
of... And I want to add something to it, Steve. And I think it's a critical point. We know people that have used Florida's Elite Restoration.
Yes.
And sing their praises.
Yes.
So unlike a lot of sponsorships with different outlets that, you know, you're just towing the party line and you don't really know anything about the company, that's not the case with Florida's Elite Restoration.
We know people.
And it's not the case with Bill Curry Ford. We have their vehicles.
Now, go ahead.
Well, we know people that have used Florida's Elite Restoration at their beach houses and raved about
multiple
the job.
Multiple times.
Did. Yes.
That's right.
And raved about their, you know, that's a nice, expensive a beach house. It's not like some tiny home or something.
Now, owner Josh Martin of Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, where is he in Publix when you constantly run into him as you are the
Deli?
King of Newport Richie?
He was at the cottage cheese aisle.
Cottage cheese aisle.
While I was stuffing pork chops into my basket over there.
All right, Ira, what do you
have? He had yogurt. He had cottage cheese. That's why he's in shape over there, and that's why I keep expanding my belt buckle every 2 weeks.
Okay, Ira, what do you put on your cottage cheese, tomatoes or pineapple?
Tomatoes. Okay. Tomato. A nice New Jersey tomato.
All right, Sage. Florida's Elite Restoration, they're a one-stop shop, so if your bathroom's trashed, they can do your whole bathroom over if that's what you want them to do. They're not just restoration. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Check out their Google reviews, 5 stars across the board. Florida's Elite Restoration.
And ask for the Sage discount, Stevie.
Sage discount. I almost forgot. When you call, you got to mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan. And if you need their services, you get the Sage discount. 500 clams.
I'm going to get us back on the buck track with this one, Steve. I think you guys have said it on your podcast. But I might as well I might as well chip in and back you guys up.
It's your podcast. We just carry the water when you're not here.
Jamel Dean, I think you're going to be saying goodbye to Tampa, Florida.
Really?
I just do. I think it's time, Steve. I think it's time to move on. You know, I think finally Bowles can't defend them at this point anymore. Mm. Bowles never took pot shots at Jamel Dean.
Never.
He never did.
No. Outside of last summer when he said he needed to be drug tested when he got a pick.
We've watched Jamel Dean. Steve, he's not getting any better. You don't develop ball skills at 29 years old. He just doesn't have it. He did get a pick last year, Lee. One pick. He did get it. But I think he's out of favor. And they will draft a corner with a premium pick.
You think so?
I didn't say with the 19th pick.
Yeah.
With a premium pick, they'll draft a corner. They'll draft a corner.
You know, you guys know, I'm not anti-Dean. But I got fed up with Dean when, once again, he was hurt and couldn't finish the game in the playoffs.
And I didn't even talk about his availability.
Like, that's my issue with Dean. I know there was one fan out there who I like a lot. He's very active on social media. He said he'd rather have Jair Alexander. I mean, this dude, you talk about brittle. He makes Jamel Dean look like Lou Gehrig or something.
I will say the secondary is going to look a lot better if they can pump up that pass rush, Steve, especially if they get it with 4 guys. It's going to make everybody look better back there.
Absolutely. Of course. You know, and here's an interesting thing, Ira. You know, Todd Bowles has said many times that he always says every 2 or 3 years. He never doesn't put a number on it. But he says every 2 or 3 years, I got to rework my defense, change things up because offensive coordinators catch up.
Yes.
So now Todd Bowles has been here how many seasons? 6. Okay. So 2019, they come in. 2020, incredible run defense. 2021, they didn't make changes after winning the Super Bowl. And 2022 hits, and we can assume that's when they made a lot of different tweaks and changes, also based on personnel.
And the pass defense is ravaged.
And the pass defense wasn't too good. Last year, 23, not so good. 24, we saw what happened. Now, Jason Light was on something called NFL Daily, hosted by Greg Rosenthal, who no longer works for NFL Network, and he said, quote, Todd's always, every few years, completely does a makeover and changes a lot of the things he does defensively to keep it fresh. I know he's been in the lab lately doing some things to make things a little bit different this year, but it all depends on the personnel, blah, blah, blah. So it sounds like Bowles is overhauling his defense to a degree, and maybe that does include no more Jamel Dean.
Without a better pass rush, Lee, I think they're still going to get shredded.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get shredded. And it's not the sacks, Lee, necessarily. It's the moving the guy out of his comfort zone. And again, I look at the 2 Atlanta games.
Yeah, Kirk
Cousins. You got an immobile quarterback. And can't even move like he did 3 years ago because he's coming off an injury.
And
they never moved him off the spot. Like, they just did.
And he sliced the Bucks up.
Sliced them up.
Fierce.
Especially that game in Atlanta was disgusting.
Oh. Steve, I think Rosenthal still works for NFL Media. He may not be on NFL Network anymore. I think all his cohorts got bounced, but I think he still does. Double check that.
Steve, do I have your permission to drive
to go to the bathroom
to drive the Kemper a little crazy here at this juncture?
No,
it's going to be good. Lee, you ready?
Sure.
Maybe I heard this wrong. Maybe, but whether it was from Light or Bowles or both of them, did I see as a little suggestion that man? We like Servacier Dennis, and we're counting on him. If he's healthy, he's going to play a big role in this defense.
Yes.
Am I wrong, Steven?
Did they
not suggest that?
Jason Light stood up erect. Get your head out of the gutter.
All right.
And he was very proud to say, oh, yeah, he'll be ready. OTAs, we're going to go. Yeah, I thought he was one of the best linebackers in the league when he was on the field last year.
Whoa.
That's what Light said.
Did Bowles not – I'm going to try to quote him here. I may be off. Didn't he say something along the lines of, when he got hurt, that hurt our defense?
He did say that. Yeah. He did say that.
And I think Dennis shows that he could be a solid player. Got to stay on the field.
That could be a plus for this defense.
Oh my! That would be a plus.
That would
be a major plus if he could stay healthy. I think. Yeah.
I thought he flashed enough to say, this guy could be a player. You know, fast, instinctive, and a good coverage guy. They need that.
Did he not make a couple of really good plays against Detroit?
Yeah. And that's what is interesting about overhauling the defense, because the Bucs have been Jalen Hurts' kryptonite. They've been very solid against the run. Not as good as they were in the past. And they also...
No, but nobody runs on the
Bucs. They also beat Detroit. So these are probably your two number one and 1A...
Hurdles
to get to where you want to go. So I don't know. It's an interesting concept.
You know, here's something, Lee, to chew on. And to me, it only says one thing. Opponents average 4.3 yards a run. That's probably higher than the league average, was probably 4.1 on defense, you know, allowing 4.1. So 4.3 is nothing to, you know, no great shout out. Yeah. However, at the same time, Lee, nobody used to run on the Bucs because they faced the second most pass attempts in the league and gave up the most completions in the league. What does that tell you? It doesn't say that they can't run against the Bucs. It just think the Buck pass defense is lousy.
Yeah,
and we're
going to
take
wheels.
Advantage of
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
What did you think of Todd Bowles saying, we haven't had a running attack here in 6 years?
I thought that was fantastic. Well, it might even be longer than that. Well, maybe that second Doug Martin. I can't remember the second time Doug Martin. I mean, 2015? 2015, that was the second time that Doug Martin had the big season?
Well, look, they won a Super Bowl. I think they were 15th.
Ronald Jones was
15th
okay.
15th in rushing. Ronald Jones averaged 5 yards a carry. I thought it was quite a smack.
You know?
Yeah, it was a little smack. Yeah, it was quite a smack. I can't wait for Bucky Irving to get his 20 touches, Lee. I just can't wait. Barring an injury, I called him a 40-yard run waiting to happen.
Well, here's one for you, Ira. Todd Bowles said he believes the days of your one-back running attacks are over. He thinks you got to have more than just one monster back there.
That doesn't mean I'm splitting the carries between him and White. I'm not doing that. Those days are over.
Think so?
Yeah.
What? Sean Tucker's going to be elevated?
Yeah, Tucker's going to get his 5 carries. White is going to get his 5 carries. And my man is going to get his 18 carries.
Did Bowles even mention Sean Tucker last week, Steve? I don't recall.
I think Light did.
Light did. Light referenced somewhere that he felt he could start for most teams in the league.
Are we hearing any? What's the gut feeling on Bredesen?
I don't think his name.
What's
came
going
up
on
at all.
With Bredesen?
No comments on Bredesen at all. Nobody asked.
Is he going to make some money in free agency? This guy.
They obviously want him back because you can't keep saying continuity, and then not want the guy back when you said he played well, and the line is the closest bonded unit around. So. I said before, there's a lot of guys on the market that can play guard. It's a really good guard year for free agents. I don't know what they're willing to pay him.
FYI, Ira, guy just hit the market this morning, Alex Kappa.
Wow. Yeah. Alex Kappa.
Ooh, he got released by the Bengals. No, I don't think he's coming here. What if I had to throw a sawbuck on the table and bet where he's going to wind up? Carolina.
I'm not hearing the Bucks link to Myles Garrett at all, Steve. I'm not hearing anything about the Bucs.
No, and Jason Light on your podcast said, well, people think you want to trade for this guy and that this impact edge rusher, et cetera, but what did he do for his team? And then he said, oh, I'm not talking about anybody specifically.
Didn't he also say we want to be good for a long period of time?
Yeah.
And not to give up resources in that regard.
But that's why so much of that is just BS to a certain degree. And I don't care if Jason Light is listening.
In other words, Light's trying to take the long-range view, Lee.
It's nice, but you know what? You just mortgaged the future with Tom Brady. $80 million record, dead cap, and you came out of it. So don't tell me you can't mortgage $30 million in dead cap and not come out of it again. Nonsense. You don't see a guy you like, that's fine. But don't tell me that we got to win long-term. You're doing it now, and you were just...
Steve, maybe not the money, but he was talking about giving up premium draft picks, catches up with you down the line.
He talked about money too.
What Steve said is what I secretly thought. I just don't want Light to, you know, pound me with text about this. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't just Brady. It was Antonio Brown. It was Gronk. It was Sue even. And so, yeah, I mean, when you hear a general manager discuss how he won a flipping Super Bowl by doing that, now, well, you don't want to do that.
Now, Steve,
you know what? This goes back to my faith in Jason Light, because I believe he can do it. I believe he can swing for a home run on a guy, and if it doesn't work
with Greenberg out, as his right-hand man,
I think he can recover.
And not cripple himself. Yeah.
So let's go, unless you've got something really important, Ira.
Let me just weigh in for a minute.
Let me take my rightful place and let the sage talk.
I haven't weighed in on John Gruden going back up on the facade. And if anybody's wondering, no, there's not going to be a halftime ceremony for John Gruden. That would just be ludicrous. You're going to go into Ray J, and you're going to see his name back on the facade. Okay. And now I'm hearing this all happened during Monty Kiffin's funeral service.
Eulogy by Lane,
by the way, I believe I was the only reporter there. The only one. And I was there. I think it was June or July. I can't remember.
And you did something horrible that the Bucks still don't forgive you.
Why? Because Bowles was there, and I started talking about Buck personnel, and Buck PR went crazy. Ira, this is a sacred moment. You're asking about Servassier Dennis over here?
Yes, Bowles, we could come on the podcast, too.
I think I did. I'm all business, Lee. But, you know, look, I was there, and I heard what Lane Kiffin said, that my dad was a big believer in second chances. I just can't believe it all stems from that one little speech. I just can't.
What, you thinking Roger Goodell had something to do with it?
I don't know. I mean, it just seems like Gruden steadily is getting back into the public eye. He's everywhere. Barstool. He was going to sign autographs up in Pasco County until he canceled, but he's probably going to do it. He's on Cameo. You guys know what that is. He's making money off that. The resurrection of Gruden is something to see. Now, he's not back in the league yet, but I think that's a matter of time, too.
Really?
Lee, I do. I'm kind of glad they did it, because I didn't think they should have took him out in the first place. That's a rash move to take a man out once he's in. It's rash. But he did take a pot shot at Brian Glazer. Lee, he did. Mm-hmm. Mentioned him by name.
Yeah, and it was very unseemly.
In email. Unsavory. Unseemly. But I'll give the Glazers credit for letting bygones be bygones.
I absolutely give them credit for that, yes.
Sage, you know, Gruden's everywhere. You could get him on this podcast. It would be one hell of a podcast.
I think I could. We could
drive out to his place.
Yes, you could.
He's got all set up there. We can pet Scrapper, you know, his new dog that he loves so much. Scrapper. It's always all over social media. You know, not everybody's happy about the Gruden thing. Jay Retcher, a local YouTube personality, former sports radio guy we know. You've been on his show a few times.
Yes.
He was on there saying he doesn't like it. You know, he doesn't like it.
Stick to your guns.
He doesn't like it. He thinks it's kind of sanctioning what Gruden did. I'm not in that camp. Do you think, and this is a question I am going to ask Joel Glazer.
Maybe this is part of being the 50th anniversary of Buck football. They're really into the history now, Lee.
I don't have a problem with it. Yeah.
Don't knock Steve like that.
But here's a question that I am going to ask Joel Glazer at the owners' meetings. He may not like it, but I'm going to ask him. Putting Gruden back in the Ring of Honor, is that moving on? Or is that we're looking back and maybe we made a mistake? It's got to be.
That's a fair question. It's a fair question. By the way, Lee, speaking of the 50th year of Buck football, because they started in 76, I just want our listeners to know this in anticipation, because I think it's going to be a hell of a thing. But, Lee, you've heard us talk about, and Steve came down you know, they're doing this big documentary. It might be a one-off in theaters. It could be a three-part thing on Netflix. We don't know what it's going to be. But it's supposed to be ready by the summer. And the plan initially is between the last preseason game, I think there's usually a two-week gap before the first regular season game.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in there, they're going to put it at a local theater, you know, West Shore Plaza or wherever it is. And it's going to be like a grand opening, and I think fans are going to be invited to come. And Steve met the producer and the guy that's in charge. He's the one that bought us lunch that day, Stevie. And I did 5 hours worth of interviews.
Wow.
And I told the guy, I'm going to be on for 20 seconds. No, you're not. No, you're not, Sage. You're good.
Ira, what kind of gown will you wear on the red carpet?
There will be a red carpet. I think I might wear some kind of a ribbon. I'm going to wear a ribbon. for some kind of cause. Maybe John Gruden. Maybe a ribbon for Gruden or something.
I say this.
Justice for Gruden.
I like that.
A little ribbon. I say this partially in jest, and I know you represent JoeBucksFan.com, but do you think that the documentary could be a sham if we're not, Lee and I aren't included in any way?
I wish Lee was on there.
No, they don't.
There's still time for Lee to get on there.
No.
And maybe if the guy asks the wrong question, Lee puts his microphone down and walks off the stage. I think that would be tremendous.
I mean, Jason Light himself on the last podcast, he acknowledged out of his own mouth, free-flowing, the lost decade of Bucks football.
Quote, unquote.
The lost decade. Who better to talk about the lost decade?
That's a Lee line. Yeah, yeah.
All right, Sage. Now, important stuff. Khalil Mack. Okay, Khalil Mack.
Jeremy Fowler.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, credible guy. Last year, he's the guy in March who said, my sources tell me Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean are on the trade block. Bucks are looking to get rid of one of them, not both. And sure enough, days later, there goes Carlton Davis, which was a bit of a surprise. And nobody else picked up on that report. It wasn't like anybody else. I mean, we wrote about it, but nobody sort of piled
on. So his contacts were good.
Now he says in a story behind a paywall that Combine Buzz tells him, GMs, executives tell him, Khalil Mack still has it, even though he's 34 years old. He's still got it, still got juice, and the names he's hearing are Buccaneers and Bears. Now, I know, because I have it on audio, and I'll say his name because it wasn't off the record, although it wasn't for audio, not the point. John Spytek told us last year at the Combine, all three of us.
At my table?
At our table when we were interviewing him. But he mentioned on the audio, I heard it last week, that the Bucks were looking at Khalil Mack when the Raiders traded him to the Bears in September of 2018. So Jason Light's still there.
That's a long time ago, though,
Steve. What do you think of Khalil Mack?
It would be a short-term solution. Short-term, Lee. Now, look, if he goes out and gets 12 sacks, I got no problem with it. But, Lee, I looked at his numbers. He's only had one double-digit sack season in like the last 7 years, Lee. Mm-hmm. Now, it was a big one. It was 17 a couple of years ago. But last year, he was very ordinary, Lee. He seems pretty durable, Lee. He had 1 year where he only played 7 games. Steve, I don't know what kind of injury. It must have been a serious injury. But, Lee, I'm going to kick it over to you because I know what you're going to say, and you're not wrong. He's 34. He doesn't really fit the Buck pattern.
No, not at all. I mean, a few conversations I've had with Bucks types about getting an edge rusher, and I'll mention this guy. They're pretty adamant about the 30 age. You hit 30, and they're really not.
Now, you don't have to trade for him, Lee. You don't have to trade for him.
Understand.
But so that appeals to Light.
They're spooked. They're pretty set in their ways. And I have seen some data that shows that for the most part, there's always exceptions, but for the most part, when edge rushers hit 30, they really hit the wall. There's always a Reggie White, and I'm sure you can come up with some other. Miles Garrett's 30, I think, too.
Yeah.
But generally, top edge rushers, when they hit 30, boom, that's it. JPP's a good example. Having said that, I know, I just mentioned it, and Steve talked about it just 10 minutes ago. He went out and got Brady, who was 40. He went out and got Sue, who was over 30. Antonio Brown was over 30.
We're talking Hall of Fame players, and one could argue
Julio Jones.
Those Hall of Fame players don't dip in the same way. That's why they're Hall of Fame players.
And that,
Mack
good
might
point.
Be in that boat.
Good point.
But he's certainly not in his prime, Steve. He's certainly not in his prime.
No. So do you like it? That's what I'm asking. Should the Bucks go sign Khalil Mack, Ira Kaufman?
Well, to me, it doesn't lock him into having to take an edge rusher at 19. I like that. I like the fact they don't have to give up draft capital, but I'm worried. I'm worried about being 34. I'm worried about not being particularly productive last season. What have you done for me lately? But I'm not going to knock it because he might have a year or two left.
Is he better than Marquise Watts?
He's got 107 sacks, and Watts is looking for his first. That's my answer.
Here's what I can say real quick about Mack. And I'm on the Harold Landry bandwagon. But if you ask me, forget age. If you're asking what's a better fit for Bulls defense, I'd say Mack.
Sage, couple of numbers on Khalil Mack. He had a ridiculous 9 passes defensed last year. But 2 years ago, he had 10. So, I mean, that shows a lot of versatility.
Yes.
Two forced fumbles last year.
1 year, he had 7 forced fumbles, I believe.
He's an all-timer with the forced fumbles. Obviously, the big career sack number.
And he's a four-time first-team All-Pro. That's impressive.
Only 6 sacks last year, but he had 17 the year before, All-Pro. You know, if he looks good, the film says he's good, I don't have a problem signing.
What about the money?
I don't know how much it's going to be, so that I can't even answer that. But I'm assuming they can get him on a 1-year deal.
The Bucks won't be his only suitors, Lee. Apparently they won't be the only ones. Too.
I mean, if he's 1 year, $20 million, and they think he's pretty good, man, Lee's going to throw shit all over his house.
Your friends from the Falcons might be looking at him too, Lee.
I'm. You know, Steve and I are just going by what Jeremy Fowler reported. He's pretty solid.
But you know what? If Khalil Mack with 107.5 sacks, you know it, Ira. He's on the borderline for first ballot Hall of Famer. With 9 Pro Bowls and 4 All-Pros, he's going to get there one day with 107.5 sacks. But he's still borderline for slam dunk Hall of Fame status.
He is.
And if he wants to be a Hall of Famer,
he needs another 2 or 3 years.
You want to go play on grass next to Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi and a very active guy who gets pressure on the other side in Diaby, I would think he'd want to come to Tampa.
And a defensive-minded coach that wants him.
Yeah, Bowles will tell him what he wants to hear, yeah.
I really believe if they got someone like Mack, someone that scares other teams,
yeah,
how much better that would make Diaby.
Does it also give a cushion for Braswell to bring him so you don't have to rush Braswell?
He's going
to
shock people, Ira.
Never mind that. Never mind that. could it also affect, you know, that you're not relying on Braswell?
If they're relying on Braswell, that's like, oh, my God, that's beyond hope.
He's going to have a stroke.
I'm not anti-Braswell. Again, he was a rookie. But
did Light say he's going to shock people? Are you making that up?
Yes, it's on the podcast, your podcast.
If you're banking on anyone who got 1.5 sacks last year, I mean, that's beyond a leap of faith.
We don't have to buy everything Light's selling on this podcast. We don't.
No, and it's okay. Look, the Mac thing's interesting, and Lee says it goes against what the Bucks pattern has been. I agree with that. You agree with that.
If he was 30, this would be a no-brainer.
But you're telling us, Ira, unless you want to clarify, you've told us here that the Glazers are involved here. The Glazers have waved the green flag and have had a discussion saying, go get the best available guy. We don't care what it costs.
I think so, Lee. Mm-hmm. I think the Glazers are right in this. They would also be in this if they were looking for a quarterback, but they're not.
Thank goodness.
So now I don't think the Glazers are looking at the inside linebackers that are available in the draft.
What do you think about this Bill Parcells saying? And he said this when people are searching for a quarterback, which, again, thank goodness the Bucks are not.
But don't go shopping when you're hungry.
Yeah, don't go shopping when you're hungry.
He comes up with some great lines, Parcells.
You think they might reach?
They might reach. It might be a reach, Steve. It might be a reach. But if you believe Light that this is an ascending franchise, and I think
it is,
I think he's got a lot of support to make that statement. You saw my story. I didn't poke fun at Light for saying that. I think he's right.
I don't think he's wrong either.
And by the way, I was shocked when I did the research. Only 4 teams have increased their win total each of the last 2 years. 4.
Out
of 32.
I told him right to his face, I said, Jason, I think you're 1, maybe 2 players on defense from making a real run at the Super Bowl. He didn't say you're full of it.
You got a quarterback in their prime. You got a great young running back. The receivers are okay. Trenches are good.
Oh, very good.
And as soon as Lee said that, Light pulled his fist back. He put his fist down.
The essential point, Lee, and you'll back me up on this. If the Bucks were coming off 6-11, Mac would make no sense.
I agree.
Mac would make no sense. But they're not. Mm-hmm. But they're not. They think they might be one player away, and I'm not sure they're wrong, Steve. I'm not sure they're wrong.
All right, Sage, look, I have one last important question to ask you.
About my tennis game? No.
No, but I'm sure you're still hitting 93% of your serves in and
working
your slice and dazzling opponents. Got to remind everybody first, Bill Curry Ford. Shop there. Bill Curry
Don't
Ford.
Don't worry. Drive Curry.
Don't worry, drive Curry. Ira's got it memorized.
Now I got it down.
Got it down.
I used to say, don't hurry. Yeah, now it's don't worry. That's right. That's better.
BillCurryFord.com, family business. CURRIE is a family name. BillCurryFord.com. And be prepared. Be ready. Call them 24/7. That's Florida's elite restoration, fire, flood, mold, any damage in your home, call them. That's how it goes. You get your free evaluation. All right. So, Ira, my last question to you. I don't even need to respond. I asked this of Lee, and we don't have to have a full debate. Maybe in the summer. It's a good summer debate. Jason Light said, all things considered, entering the playoffs, 2024 Bucks were better than the 2023 Bucks. Do you agree with that wholeheartedly? Where do you stand on that? He said they were a better team in 24 than they were in 23. You know how the seasons ended.
I think he's right. I think he's right. Why? Because it was a spectacular breakthrough for the offense, mm-hmm. and particularly the rush offense. And Lee, 29.5 points a game. You can't argue with that. That is a huge jump from, what was it, Steve? 20? 20.5? I mean, that's 9 points a game, Lee. That's winning football. Yeah, you could say your defense, it's got to get a lot better. It does. There were some injuries. I don't think you can wipe away the whole defense just saying there were some critical injuries. I'm not buying that. You yearned for an edge rusher. You didn't have one. That had nothing to do with injuries. Zero. Was Soyinka hurt? No, he wasn't. Was Braswell hurt? No, he wasn't. So I think Light's right. They won one more game. Now they lost the playoff game, but Washington was a damn good team by the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, they won 12 games. They went to Detroit and mopped them up. That ain't too shabby.
Nope.
And then they ran out of gas against Philly. No shame there, Lee. So I'm not arguing with Light. I think he's right. I think the 24 Bucks were better than the 23 Bucks, and I think the 25 Bucks are going to be better than the 24 Bucks.
Oh, mark the tape. I like how you said yearn for an edge rusher.
Yearn, baby.
Lee, how great is it to have Ira back?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, you're rejuvenated, Ira.
I am.
Refreshed. You're ready
I'm
to
fall run. Piss and vinegar. No. Maybe more one than the other. But I regret not joining you guys in Indy. That bothered me.
It's a good thing.
But you didn't need somebody with flu A breathing on you.
No.
I tell you that.
No, definitely not.
Steve got out when, well, the getting was good. Saturday was downright cold.
Oh.
All right, Sage, you're back. You're fired up now.
We're going to have another one later in the week, right, Steve?
Another one later in the week. We're also going to have special guest Chris Sims on that podcast. And it's going to be some foul language in there. Just going to give everybody some heads up.
You know what I said to Sims last year? He didn't like it. You know what I said to him? Is this still going, Steve?
Yeah.
You know what I said to him, Lee? I go, Chris, I enjoy you on Florio, but you know what? You don't always have to agree with Florio. Oh. Not always. And you know what he said?
What?
I don't always agree with him. And I go, yes, you do.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ouch. Well,
ouch.
We're out, Sage. We'll see you soon.